Father, we just truly do thank you and praise you and give you glory and honor. Father God, we thank you for your angelic hostess walking to and fro throughout these chairs this morning, meeting each and every need for your people. Father, we ask that your spirit dwell richly in here this day. And Father, I just ask that you open up the people's hearts, their ears, their eyes of understanding, and let them hear what you're saying this morning. Let them digest it, Father. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many is excited about what God is doing in your life? Not somebody else's, but yours. You know, how he's moving mightily in your life to accomplish those things he said he's going to accomplish. I wish with every fiber of my being that God would drop in here this morning and just do a mighty works in each and every one of our lives. You know, complete the works. You know, they started. But, you know, God's timing. If he feels like doing it today, he'll do it. If he doesn't, he won't. You know, it's God's perfect timing, so we're not going to get all excited because he doesn't. But God told me this morning that we can receive whatever we expect to receive. He said, the problem is my people aren't expecting to receive, and that's why they don't receive. Now, that doesn't apply to everybody. But the majority of people in the body of Christ, they just come in and just see what God's going to do. And seeing that isn't the way it works. You come in expecting something personal for your own life. I guess it's the point where you get selfish. Just gonna think about me for right now. And God's going to take care of everybody else. Are you understanding that? I can't work out your salvation. I can't bring your miracle. I can help you believe for your miracle. I can help you believe for anybody's salvation you're praying for. But I can't make it come to pass. And you have to come to that conclusion yourself. You can't make it come to pass. That's what I'm getting at. So we walk out our own salvation, like God told me one time. You walk out your own salvation and let me work on the others. All right? I don't know why, but somebody in here this morning has to hear that. God is in control. I'm going to talk this morning about gratitude. How deep are your thoughts? Psalm 92:1 says, A song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. And Ezekiel 36:25 says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The Lord does indeed require humility, worship, thanksgiving, and many other things from us. The Lord does indeed require humility, worship, thanksgiving, and many other things from us. This might seem like repayments, so that the Lord's gifts do not seem to be free. But the Lord does not require these things for his own sake. Rather, they are required for our sake. If we are humble, we can accept goodness from the Lord. Since we have been separated from selfishness and the evil things that go with it, which stand in the way of our accepting the Lord's goodness. Do you understand a lot of people in the body of Christ cannot accept God's goodness? They can't accept the fact that God loves them. And I'll never be able to comprehend that, but they can't accept the fact that God loves them. It doesn't matter what you've done, you know, God still loves you. If he doesn't love you, why does he go down into the corridors of hell and walk the corridors crying for the souls that would not repent? And they ended up down there. I mean, that's love. He loves you. This is why the Lord desires a state of humility in us for our own sake. Because when we are in this state, the Lord can flow into us with heavenly goodness. The same is true of worship and thanksgiving. This is why the Lord desires a state of humility in us. When we are in a state of humility, then God can flow through us totally and completely. I want you to get humility down in your spirit this morning. God wants us to be walking in total humility. I extend to each of you today an invitation. It is an invitation to cultivate gratefulness as your basic attitude toward life. Cultivate gratefulness as your basic attitude toward life. Do you understand that some people are not grateful to Jesus for dying on the cross? They show that by the way they live, right? Gratefulness is one of the most powerful forces in the world. Gratefulness makes the difference between just going through the motions and really being alive. Are you hearing this? Gratefulness is the difference between having a heart of stone and receiving a heart of flesh from the Lord. Gratefulness is extraordinarily powerful. Thomas Merton, in his book, No Man Is an Island, said that people who are ungrateful admit they do not know God. There's a lot of people that are not grateful in every area of their life. He goes on to say that if we are not aware of our gratitude, we don't really know who we ourselves are, and we are not in touch with our life and what it means to be alive and to truly be. That's what this young man said. To be grateful is to recognize, acknowledge, and accept that we are a recipient of a gift. The most basic gift is life itself. Jesus was a gift to us. And Jesus gave us life, did he not? He died so we could live and not die. Why do we not accept that gift that God gave us? Is the heat on? Everybody's wrapping up. And if it gets too hot, we're turning off, all right? Each of our lives is a gift given to us. You know, when people curse their own self and you know they commit suicide and things like that, they don't understand what they're doing. Because that when you being born was a gift, and you were born for a purpose, and it wasn't to kill yourself. It wasn't to destroy yourself, you know, doing drugs and drinking and whatever else. God gave you life so you could do things for him and live more abundantly. And the body of Christ does not understand that, and this is where we get ourselves in a whole lot of trouble. Emanuel Swedenborg is very clear, especially in his book, Divine Love and Wisdom, that we ourselves are not life, but rather are recipients of life, receptacles of life, vessels of life, cups into which life is poured. Life itself is holy and life itself is divine. God is trying to get the body of Christ to go down into the very nitty-gritty of what they're really made for. Because we're walking still on the surface of what God wants us to do. We are not being all that God has called us to be. And the reason is we don't understand why we even are. Yeah, I'm talking about the majority of the body of Christ. You just walk around this world and you just do things. You just do it because that's life. But see, that isn't reason why you should be doing anything. You should be doing everything because you're a child of God. You're living for the Father. You're here on assignment and you have a works to do for him. If we can get that down in our spirit, we're going to be much happier Christians. And I hope we find it before we go to heaven. I really do, because you cannot enjoy life if you don't understand what you're here for. You know, you're not here to be a punching bag. You're not here to be a slave to anybody. You're here because you're a child of God. God has redeemed you, and he needs you to work for him. One of the most powerful ways to open our hearts, to allow God to remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, is to get in touch with our thankfulness and our gratitude. One of the most powerful ways to open our hearts, to allow God to remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, is to get in touch with our thankfulness, which is our gratitude. How many people you know that take their families for granted? They aren't grateful for nothing. You know, that's not of God. And if you do that in your family, you're going to do that in, with God too. You're going to do that in every area of your life. Families are so twisted and messed up, they don't even know the proper way to live, do they? And so why doesn't the church get their self together so the church can be an example of what family is all about? You know, maybe if the world saw families in church, you know, I don't mean going to church, I mean just saw families in church, they would want what you have. They already have a house where you cuss and you carry on, you throw things and do all kind of things. They're trying to get away from that. They want peace. And the body of Christ could show them that. We could be a mirror, a reflection of Jesus, right? And we could show the body of Christ, we could show the world that. This is very important that you grab hold of this morning. This is another step in walking in the glory. Okay, so I said one of the most powerful ways to open our hearts, to allow God to remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, is to get in touch with our thankfulness, our gratitude. Sometimes this is very easy when things are going just the way we want them to go, right? Or when something surprises us in a most delightful way. It feels spontaneous. Gratitude just wells up in us and we feel joy. But other times, every now and then, it's a little tougher. Three steps that can help bring us into a state of gratitude. These steps happen spontaneously when things are going well. But at other times, they are helped by our conscious effort. Sometimes you just have to really make yourself be grateful. It isn't that you don't want to be grateful, but the forces of darkness are trying to make you not be grateful, and you just have to make yourself want to be grateful. You have to make yourself look for the good in things instead of the bad. The three steps rely upon the work of our intellect, our will, and our emotions. The first step calls upon our intellect. In order to feel grateful, we need to recognize the gift. Sometimes this is very easy and sometimes it's hard. In order to recognize the gift, we need to wake up. We need to notice. We need to say, ah, a gift. And by that I mean somebody comes into the body of Christ and we just sort of stuff them off and ignore them. But really, whenever a new person comes into the body of Christ, if we could look at that person and say, that's a gift from God. God wants that person to be special. He's anointed him to do something special in the church. That's a gift. Amen? Instead of just looking at him, oh, well, somebody else is new in here today. And that's the attitude of the body of Christ. We don't look at people as gifts from God. We don't look at the gifts that God sends in here through people, with what they have inside of them that they can contribute to the house of God. We need to start doing that. When somebody comes in, God, there's a gift. What's down inside them that you want to use in the body? Amen? God has planted, sprinkled, placed gifts, uncountable in every moment, but our intellect needs to recognize them as gifts. Do you understand your new baby is a gift from God? I know you do, but that's, you know, children are a gift from God. They are his children that he gave to you, he lent to you to raise up in his ways. And when you stand before the Lord, you're going to be held accountable for how you raised each and every one of them. The second step toward gratitude calls upon our will. We need to acknowledge the gift. First, we need to recognize the gift, and then we need to acknowledge it. We need to say, I know you. You know, when somebody walks, I know you. How many times have somebody walked up to you and you say, have I seen you before? And they'll say, nope. But you know that you've seen them before. You've seen them in the spirit realm. There was one person I met just recently, and I said, where have I seen you before? I've never seen you in my life. I said, yes, I have. I've seen you. And then later on, you know, God said, you saw them in the spirit realm. So, you know, there was a gift that God put before me, and he wanted me to do something with that gift. Amen? Acknowledging a gift means that we are acknowledging something outside of ourselves. Something outside of ourselves. Because a gift does not come from our own self. Acknowledging a gift is actually very powerful, because when we acknowledge a gift, we are letting something outside ourselves come in. We are allowing ourselves to be touched and to be moved. There is a tendency in human beings, especially in Americans, to think that we are self-sufficient and independent and that we don't need other people. How many of us at one time or other have felt that way? You know? Do you know your husband or your wife is a gift from God? And we need to start looking at them as gifts instead of just whatever you look at them as. Being able to acknowledge a gift is stepping out of our false sense of utter self-reliance. It is stepping out of our fortress of isolation. When we are able to do this with our will, we are able to connect and form a common unity and begin to step into intimacy. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so just listen to what you're hearing. The third step we take in order to experience gratitude requires our emotions. We need to accept the gift with our whole heart, and we need to say yes. When God sends a gift to you, you say, all right, Lord, I accept this gift. Yes, I'll take it, and yes, I'll take good care of it. Amen? It is like someone is saying, dance with me, and we accept with our whole heart. It is saying, yes, I will step into this crazy, wild, chaotic, confusing, sometimes distressing dance of life. Here I am. How many of us have felt like that? All right, Lord, I'm just going to go along with what you want done here. I'm tired of fighting the system. And you just accept the gift that God is trying to place in you so he can use you to further his kingdom. The only way to say yes and accept the gift is with open arms. Come on. We cannot accept a gift with our arms folded across our chest. We can only accept a gift with our arms wide open. Yeah, I'm going to stop there. You know, when I was going to college and taking psychology classes, I used to always sit like this. And they taught us that if you sit like that, that you're closing, you're saying I'm untouchable and you're closing people out. So we always had to sit like this. And I didn't realize how often I sat like this until it's pointed out to me. And then every time I do it, I feel uncomfortable. But that's what they told us. So what did I say here? Yeah, we all know that what's scary about holding our arms wide open, don't we? I don't know if you do know what it's like to hold your arms wide open and just accept the gifts God gives you. Let's say we're at a dance and it looks like someone across the room is looking at us and smiling at us, and the impression we have is that they are asking us, will you dance with me? And we say after some hesitation, yes. And then they walk toward us and go right by us to dance with the person standing behind us. We feel crushed and humiliated and embarrassed. We were open. How many times have you had that happen to you? You're standing with a crowd of people. Somebody keeps staring at you. And next thing, you think, I wonder who that is and why they're looking at me like that. And they start walking towards you and here's looking at the person behind you. And you do get embarrassed, don't you? We feel crushed and humiliated and embarrassed. We were open. Being grateful does not protect us from rejection, pain, or sorrow. It doesn't protect us from any of that. But if we are able to incorporate gratitude into our basic attitude toward life and make it a part of the ground of our being, it gives us another way of responding to what is taking place. All right? When those painful or sad feelings are happening, They are not all that's happening. When those painful or sad feelings are happening, they are not all that's happening to you. Counting our blessings does not mean that we no longer feel the grief that we feel or the confusion or the sorrow. It means we are feeling all of that, and we are also feeling a sense of warmth, peace, and connection. I'm teaching on this morning because God's trying to, you know, revival is all about righteousness, and God's trying to get us to be well-rounded individuals. And the body of Christ is not well-rounded, and that's why we fall into the traps that we fall into. We have too many things in us that are not right. In the example where we were mistakenly thinking that we are being asked to dance, how can we find gratitude in that moment? Well, we can be grateful that we realize we want to dance, and then we can go out and discover ways to bring dancing into our life. You know, you go find somebody to dance with, right? This gentleman, Swedenborg, told his story. I want to share with you one example from my own life of turning an experience around through finding gratitude, and then give you three suggestions for how to practice gratitude. Late Thursday morning, I had three errands to do in different places around this wonderful city. I went out. At the first place, I could not find a place to park. I looked and looked, and I finally gave up on that first errand and just headed off to the second errand. I couldn't find a place to park there either. I finally did stop in a yellow loading zone and ran in and out and went on to the third errand. By that point, I was talking to myself. What is this city coming to? I did that this morning. I got to walk half a block to get to the church. I was talking to myself. That's what I was saying. You can't even go on a simple errand and park in front of where you want to go. This is ridiculous. This is what this man was saying to himself. As I was talking to myself, I realized that I had picked up a pretty self-righteous sense of entitlement. That's what I did. And I thought, hey, what am I doing this for? Have you ever done something like that? Wonder why you're doing it? You know, we have no right to complain, right? And then a little thought came into my head. Oh, my goodness, I'm alive. It is a beautiful day. I'm in one of the most beautiful cities in the world. See, he was trying to... If I need anything materially, I can go to a store and get it. And no, I might not be able to find a parking place convenient to where I'm going. I realized what my false sense of entitlement was doing to me, how it was making me feel angry and self-important. Are you listening? Then I let go of it and recognized the gift. I acknowledged the gift and I accepted and welcomed the gift. And that, you know, God was giving him the gift of being peaceful and not getting all upset because he couldn't find a parking place right where he wanted to get out. And then I saw another gift, and then another, and then another, and I saw that my gifts were countless. I particularly forgot what errand I was doing as I felt a rush of appreciation for my life. Are you listening to this? Satan will come in many ways to trouble you. There are, of course, countless days to incorporate these steps of gratitude into our daily lives, but here are three quick ones. First, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want everybody to get that in their spirit. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I can guarantee you that 90% of the Christians get out of bed and do not rejoice in that day. And they aren't glad that God allowed them to get up that day. And if the Christians can't do that, why do we think we can help the world do that? Nobody knows what the day holds for you except Jesus. So why not just get up in a good mood? Thank God that you can breathe and that you can walk and you can see out of your eyes and do all that kind of stuff. And quit complaining just about, oh, God, another day. Well, go ahead and die then. If you're going to complain about each day you get up, just go ahead and die. Say, God, just take me on home. Because I'm just not appreciating any of this life that you have me in. Well, you know, I'm old and, you know, I can't get around. Hey, come on. You can get around just as good as you want to get around. In other words, you can tell your body, you're not going to sit down. You're going to get up and you're going to move. Are you listening? It seems like older people, when they get older, they all of a sudden, I can't do this, and well, I can't do that. And it's only because somebody's told you you're old, then you've got this attitude of the world, well, when you get this age, you can't do nothing. So you just sit down. That dear guy that's 105 or 115, he's a cross trainer runner or whatever you call him, and he's out there just running, just having a good time at that age. His body didn't sit down. Why didn't his body sit down? It's because he didn't sit down. He made his spirit man stay alive. Don't ever say, I can't do, right? Because your body hears that. And then you won't be able to do. Don't ever say, well, I have arthritis. The spirit world heard that. You're going to get arthritis. You hear what I'm saying? How many of you go into the doctor and the doctor, so I had my neck operated on years and years ago when that machinery fell on it, did something to my disc in my neck. And so I'm back to see the doctor a year later. He said, I know you're going to be loaded with arthritis. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I'm not. And he took the x-rays. I can't, but you don't have one drop of arthritis in your neck. I don't ever tend to have arthritis in my neck. Are you understanding this, guys? Why let them talk that thing into your life? Or even let anybody else talk that thing into your life? That's your body. That's your gift from God. All those organs are gifts from God. And the devil has no right touching your gift. Right? Then don't allow him to talk you into being sick or whatever. Come on. We know we're killing ourselves by the food we eat, right? They have all the dumb junk food out there anymore. GMOs or whatever's in it. Where am I at, Nancy? Psalm 118. We can say this to ourselves each morning when we wake up. What a wonderful way to start the day and invite gratitude in. Right? Little Isaiah. I'm so glad you gave him to me, God. And I do say that. I have to have gratitude before I get out of bed. Because he's a whiz. What you see here is what I go through at home. But, I fussed about him one day to myself, and God said, you want me to take him? I said, no. No. And I told Larry, I said, I could put him on medicine. The doctors would put that child on medicine. I said, I'm not going to do that. God put him here for me to watch, and so I know God can take care of him, and I know God can take this out of him. Are you listening? I wouldn't want six of him, though, or seven or eight. But see, we have to be grateful for what God gave us, or what he even gives us. And if we're always complaining, we're not grateful. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm hot. But, that we have to be grateful for what God gives us. God told us to have this revival, and he told me what he was going to do in here, and he's not doing it yet. And I started complaining last night. He said, are you grateful? And I said, yes. But I wasn't being grateful. I was being complaining. So just try to catch yourselves. Try to watch how you're thinking. Try to watch how you're talking. And just be grateful for everything that God does in your life. We've learned that everything that happens in our life comes from God allows, right? It doesn't all come from God. But he allows it. So if he's allowing this in your life, there's a purpose for it. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now, husbands and wives. You don't have to be upset with each other. You've made a decision, I'm going to be upset. So you are. Why don't you make a decision, I'm going to be happy with my spouse? Why don't you make a decision, okay, so they messed up, and I've messed up, and we'll probably mess up more, and just forgive and forget and go on, right? This is where, you're making your bed. You don't have no gratitude for what God's doing for you. And we want our children, healed, and we want God to do all kind of things in our life, but yet we're not grateful for what he did, the little things that he did, right? We, as a body of Christ, must start being grateful to God for what he's doing in our life. All right, so God isn't moving as quickly as you want him to. How long did it take you to get in the mess you got yourself into? You know, and then all of a sudden you want God to click his little fingers and it all goes away. It doesn't work like that. I'm quite sure every one of you that got messed up, you know, everybody in the body of Christ got messed up. You deliberately thought about what you was going to do and went and did it. And maybe even somebody told you, you better not do that, but you did it anyhow. God might even spoke to you and said, don't do that. Well, I'm going to do it. Well, go ahead. At the time God told me, don't you get upset over that. And I said, I will if I want to. And he said, and I did. And then I had to pay for a whole year for doing that. And I had no reason to get upset. And I don't care. So somebody said something about me. It didn't hurt me. But everybody kept telling me, you should really be upset. Why aren't you upset over that? You should really be upset. Then at Bitsy, I thought I should really be upset about that. And God said, don't go there. And I said, I will if I want to. So why did I have to go there? I didn't have to go there. You don't have to go where you go. You've got to sit down and start making good quality decisions. Because if not, the enemy is going to take you out. We complain to God all the time about the things that we don't have, and we never tell him about the wonderful, thank him for the wonderful things that we do have. But I look at this husband you gave me. He's a whiner, and he does this and does that. Get out of here. You're the same thing because you're complaining about him. I thank you, Father God, for this husband you gave me. He picks up his clothes behind us. See, that's what I'm saying. Some people, when they pray, they have to go, to think the good things. And see, we shouldn't do that. Amen. I thank you, Father, for Chris, because he sticks his napkin down in his shirt. I love that about him. You know, why instead of picking, why don't we just say, make it good? We are making our own bad choices. We are causing ourselves to live bad lives. By bad, I mean miserable. And God does not want the body of Christ to do that anymore. You want God to move in your life, but yet you don't want to change. You don't want to do what you have to do. You don't want to do your part. And you're going to have to do your part. You just are. All right, then where am I at? Second, when we say a prayer at our evening meal, either by ourselves or with family members or friends, we can have each person name one thing that he or she is grateful for that day. Remember that all gratitudes are acceptable from the mundane to the profound. That would be a neat thing to do. Get your kids used to being grateful, right? They could say, well, I'm just, thank God I'm sitting at the table. You know, a lot of kids are not sitting at tables. They don't have no food to eat. Thank God I have shoes on my feet. I don't care if they're hand-me-downs or not. A lot of kids don't have any shoes on their feet. We have so much to be thankful for and grateful for, and we just slough it off. Finally, throughout our day, if we find ourselves getting irritated or a bit upset, we can take it upon ourselves as a challenge to find gold in the moment and in the experience. I want each one of you in here, just when you look at your mate or your children, I want you to start looking at picking something good that they do. Quit looking at all the bad that they do and start looking at the good things that they do and pray, think about them and praise them about that. That, for one thing, shows you that you have Christ inside of you if you can do that. So we all say we're born again to have Christ inside of us, but do we really? Are we really acting like Jesus Christ? I look at the church and I can't tell the difference between the church and the world, family-wise, I really can't. This doesn't mean we have to be grateful that things are not going the way we want them to. We do not have to be grateful that we can't find a parking place or that we can't find a job, but we can still find gratitude in the experience. We can have it be like a treasure hunt with ourselves and God. Remember those puzzles where the object is to find objects hidden in the picture? Take this as a challenge then. Whatever the experience, find the gratitude in it. And let that gratitude touch you and fill you. The Lord said, I give you a new heart and I put a new spirit within you. I remove from your heart, your heart of stone, and I give you a heart of flesh. There's some of you sitting in here this morning, your heart is turning to stone. You must turn that over to God or it's going to destroy you. You know, we all say we're loving people and loving vessels, but there was a point in my life where the pain was so great and it hurt so bad that I built a wall around my heart. I was nice to you and I loved you, but you only come so far. You couldn't come no far further because I wasn't going to get hurt ever again. The pain of all the years had finally caught up with me and I didn't want no more pain. And then when I became born again, God said I had a wall built around my heart and he couldn't use me with that wall. I had let him tear the wall. This is what he's talking to me. You have to let me tear the wall down. So your heart is exposed to be hurt. And then I'll be able to use you. And he was showing me this in a vision as I stood in a church one time. And I cried and I really didn't want that wall torn down. It took me quite a few years to get it built. And it was built nice and sturdy. And finally I said, all right, God. As I was crying, I said, you can tear it down. And I saw the wall crumble. That was in 77. About 5 years ago, God showed me myself again. And I had about 3 layers of brick started again. He said, daughter, you're building your wall again and I won't be able to use you. I said, God, the pain's too bad. I can't bear all this pain. And he said, you're going to have to bear the pain in your heart if you're going to be my child. So we tore down the wall again. How many of you are sitting here this morning like this? You keep everybody at arm's length. Without knowing it, your heart is covered with a wall. You've built the wall really good and really sturdy. And you're not going to let anybody, nobody come through that wall. God doesn't want that. He wants your heart out there in the open to be hurt over and over and over again, just like Jesus was. You know, God said, his word said, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Well, if you're willing and obedient, if you're willing to let God tear your wall down and you're obedient to this, I can guarantee you will eat the good of the land. I will not guarantee you that you won't be hurt ever again because you will. And since you built the first wall and God tore it down, then Satan's going to really work really hard hurting you over and over again. And you're going to have to make a choice to either stay in the arms of God and be hurt, knowing that he is there with you and he can take care of that pain. Or you can just go ahead and let Satan start building the wall over again. And then all you'll be is a child of God that God can't use. Your foundation has to be love, pure love, and it can't be love inside of a wall. It has to be love out in the open that anybody can touch at any time they want to. So God's question to you this morning, are you ready to let go of all your anger, all your bitterness, and all your pain? Whenever you're ready to let go of it, he's ready to take it. You have to do this to get the gratitude. You have to do this to even be grateful that Jesus Christ went to the cross. Life is never going to be perfect. You just have to. And you know, if you leave one man, you're going to marry the same man. Same type of person. Or if you leave one woman, next woman you get is going to be just like the one you left. You see, it's always going to be like that. It's just, you're just going to go from person to person to person to person. Why do that? Well, if I have a new person, then we can really be happy. We can start out fresh. You know, that's a lie. You can work on the marriage that you... I don't know why God's going here this morning, but he is. You can work on the marriage that you have right now. And you can make that marriage a perfect marriage. You know, you two can talk together. You can forgive each other. You're saying, well, you don't know what they did to me. You know, you think that whatever they did is such a terrible, terrible sin. But did you ever think about the things that you do in your bitterness? You might not have went out and committed adultery. You know, you might not have got into pornography. But your bitterness is far worse than all that. It's eating you up inside. And God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free so you can get out there and you can enjoy life. Enjoy life to its fullest. You know, I always hear this, I need a wife. I need a husband. I hate to hear that because that means you're not looking for love. You just need something. Why are you out there looking? You know, if you really are supposed to be married, God will send you the person he wants you to have, and then you'll be happy. You know, my first marriage, when I was getting ready to walk down the aisle, and I didn't know what I know today. A voice said to me, do not go down that aisle. Do not marry that man. Now, I didn't know I didn't know what that was. But anyhow, here's what I did. I looked around at the big field church. Then I thought of all the food my mother had at this place where we were going to go afterwards. And there sat my daddy for the first time. He was going to walk me down the aisle. And I didn't want to disappoint the people for all the work and everything they did. I walked down the aisle. So the 45 years that I lived the way I did was my fault, not the man's. Because a voice didn't tell him not to marry me. But a voice did tell me not to marry him. Because that voice was who was my father in heaven, knew what he was going to put me through. So you see, you're blaming your spouse for something. Maybe it's your fault. I think we need to go back and reevaluate, where did this thing go wrong? Mine was wrong from the day one. We need to go back and evaluate, and you'll find out you're not all that perfect. You're going to find out you had little thoughts up here in your head that weren't right, and you had little feelings go through your body that weren't right, but yet you're blaming your spouse for what they did in the open. Come on. We're very, very good at hiding our own sins. And God said he's going to expose all that. He's going to bring it all out in the open. Now, do you want God to really, really, really clean you up this morning? Are you really ready to get all that pain and all that junk out of you so that you can live a happy, normal life? Wouldn't it be better to go in your home laughing and joking and carrying on and just having a good time rather than going, rah, 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 you know, screaming and yelling, you know. I don't know about you, but the screaming and yelling rah, 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 is a mess. But being happy and, you know, just enjoying each other is wonderful. So many people, you know, I hear after their spouse dies, ooh, I miss them. I wish I had them. I love them. But you didn't show that when they were living. We do that with our parents. You know, we don't treat our parents right while they're living. When they die, then you go on long acting like a fool and oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. Well, why didn't you do it? You know, one time I said to God, I had my three children raised them. Then I had my grandchildren. I said, God, if you ever give me any children to raise, I will raise them differently than I did my own. Well, I raised, two grandsons. I raised them just like I did my three. Then come along King Gabriel. I raised him just like I did my three. Now here's Isaiah. I'm raising him just like, you aren't going to do anything different is what I'm getting at. Just get it right now. You know? We're all looking for the time when we're looking for something that... Why not just enjoy what you have? Enjoy the gift God has given you. Be grateful for what you have. As long as you're looking, you're never going to enjoy. You aren't. As long as you're looking, God can't even straighten the mess out. You got your hand right in the middle of it, and you're messing the whole pie up. Let's just give it all to God this morning. Now, some of you weren't here, but, you know, David Wilkerson, a while back, gave a prophetic word that this revival was going to be a revival of righteousness. And the message that God's been making me give are all about making us righteous. And this morning, God is trying to do a really, really, really deep work within inside of you that you're going to find out that you're going to be so happy that you allowed him to do it. He wants your heart. He wants that stone wall broke down. He wants you to forgive and forget. Well, I forgive, but I'm never going to forget. Well, you didn't even forgive then. Come on, it was just mouth service. I'm not going to say that when you forgive somebody that you won't ever, ever think of what they did to you. Yes, you will, because the enemy's always going to bring that thing back to you. But you're going to say, no, I'm not going to think about that. And he'll take you really hard. He'll take you in that spot really hard, and you have to say, nope, I'm not going to think about that. That's under the blood. I've forgiven him for that. Now, you're not going to make me think about it. See, you're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to fight the enemy. And you're going to have to win. Right? You say, oh, well, she's nuts. Well, you know, is she really? And what part did you have in making her be that way? Well, she's got devils. Well, you know, if you was with her, did you give her some of those devils? we're always looking at everything bad about a person. Why don't we start looking at good things and you sharing what you did to make them what they are? All right, some of you in here, you've been really thinking about this. So are you ready to give God your heart? In other words, are you ready to let him expose it to the world so that they can trample on it over and over again? Are you ready to really live? Isn't that what Jesus did? He exposed his heart, did he not? He gave his all. And God told us last night we had to give our all, didn't he?